Light beer, dark money. Agree on something. Politics, culture, and the intersection of faith, freedom, and free enterprise. And now, live from the Star Worldwide Network studios, here are your hosts, Light Beer, Chris Clements, and Dark Money, Sean Noble.
Welcome back to another episode of Light Beer, Dark Money. I'm Sean Noble.
And I'm Chris Clements.
And it is another crazy busy week.
It never stops.
Never stops. So there's been a lot of,
I almost wish we could do the show every day.
Lately, Robin, daily...
can we do that? No, that would cost a lot.
Daily, she would get tired there have of been us. Daily happenings for sure. And I'll tell you, the...
Yeah, where do you want to start?
Right in. Let's just jump right in with the two big pieces of news happened yesterday. Here we are Thursday, April 25th. Yesterday, the legislature, the House, passed the repeal of the pre-Roe ban, the abortion ban. That was a lot of consternation. They tried 2 weeks before that and failed. So a shout out to what I think, and I want to be... This is big news, but I want to be very deliberate in what I say because there is a lot of passion around this issue.
Oh, rightfully so.
And we have very close friends who are very involved in the pro-life movement. We have been involved in the pro-life movement. And I strongly believe, and I'm in all sincerity, believe that repealing the pre-Roe ban was the most pro-life position you could take in the long run.
So because explain your rationale.
The rationale is because if the pre-Roe ban stood and we have this really hard left abortion on demand constitutional amendment that's going to be on the ballot that basically allows abortion right up to birth and it would be enshrined in the Constitution.
And yet its supporters are not framing it that way.
Of course not. But that's what it would do. Yeah. And the choice is, we've said this before, the binary choice is that it's a complete ban except life of the mother or a complete unrestricted. Unfortunately, in this state at this time, that would pass in a landslide, leading to more and more abortions. And secondarily...
And set back the pro-life movement for another generation.
And also, if the pre-Roe ban was in place on Election Day, we would lose the legislature for sure, which would then give the Democrat governor a Democrat House and a Democrat Senate to do all kinds of damage.
To make to the us state of into Arizona. California.
Yes. And they would, as quickly as they possibly could. They'd absolutely. Start with abortion, and then they would go right down the list. Guns, taxes.
Transgenderism.
You name
anything.
ESAs would be gone. There'd be no school choice. I mean, so the consequences of this law staying in place was...
Catastrophic
for life and catastrophic for all of the conservative policies that Arizona has passed over the last decades.
Do you think it's hard? I think that's a great recap, and I think you're right. Do you think it's hard for conservatives or even people in the pro-life movement to understand that incrementally we're winning?
I do think that it's hard for them to understand that because we have...
And you made a great, great point the last time we were together, or one of the times we were together, about how you didn't think the pro-life movement really had strategized for this moment.
Right. Well, and when in particular, we spent 50 years saying that this abortion was a states' rights issue, which is why we needed to overturn Roe, and then... The Dobbs decision comes down. It overturns Roe, and a big chunk of the pro-life movement immediately pivots to, oh, no, we need a national ban. Well, I thought you just said it a federal ban.
Yeah.
I thought you just said this is a states' rights issue.
Yeah.
So
they're inconsistent in terms of their goals and their logic.
Yes. And
in the meantime, I think they're missing a major opportunity, and I meant to say this the last time, so I want to get it in, so I'm sorry, but we have... crisis pregnancy centers that are being burnt to the ground. We have federal funding of Planned Parenthood, which is outrageous. And yet, crisis pregnancy centers barely get any type of funding.
Right.
And the pro, what was interesting, what came out this week, is, and you think he's going to be a major factor in the election, and he continues to get on the ballot in many states, and that's RFK Jr.
Right.
And he came out with a platform that was very interesting in my mind, and that was going right at this issue of funding life, funding adoption, funding, you know, expanding child health care in the home, and what have you. You can debate the merits of that one way or the other, but he really focused in on crisis pregnancy centers and different centers that, that support the cause of life.
Yeah.
I was like, well, that's an interesting point.
Yes. And it is, I mean, every pro-life person needs to be engaged in making life easier.
We have
literally making life easier for moms who find themselves pregnant, and it's a challenge.
Yes.
And I mean, that is the best way to protect life, is to give these women options that give them a chance to really choose life without suffering the consequences that they would right now. I mean, they face really tough decisions.
Yeah.
And yes, I understand that they made a choice and that they chose to have sex and get pregnant. I get that. But just because they made a mistake doesn't mean,
or maybe it wasn't a mistake,
but the point is, it doesn't mean that we turn our backs on their needs in order to save their baby's life.
Yeah.
It just, to me, that's the most important part of being in the pro-life movement, is serving women who are pregnant, not passing laws that make it harder for women to get out of those situations that they find themselves in. And, yeah. and but even more so, it's not even that, it's that the pre-roll law was, I mean, it was passed so many years ago, and yes, it was reiterated more recently, but they didn't change anything. So there's only the life of the mother. There wasn't rape. There wasn't incest. And ultimately, it's not where the people are. We haven't done a good job of changing hearts and minds.
Exactly.
And we have to understand where the people are. And so if we want to save babies' lives, we've got to play the incremental game and prevent the big sweeping change that would come as a reaction to a total ban. We would get totally unrestricted abortions.
Yes.
And we have to stop that. The only way to stop that is to get the total ban out of the way, go back to the way it was with 15 weeks, and then have the argument on the merits.
Yeah. And you can agree or disagree if that's the right.
Yeah, and I don't.
You know, the right course of action.
I don't hold any grudges, or
we need to be pushing for a heartbeat bill or whatever else.
Right, I mean,
but it's all incremental.
Yeah,
and it's all hearts and minds.
We have
pregnancy centers being burnt to the ground and vandalized. We have churches in this country being burnt to the ground and vandalized. Some over 350 churches, both Catholic and evangelical, have been vandalized or burned.
Yeah.
And yet the people on the right don't say much about it.
Right. So that was the big news of yesterday, was that the House passed this. The Senate had already started that process. So the expectation is that this will get through both houses, will land on Governor Hobbs' desk.
And will she sign it?
And she will sign it.
Yeah.
You and I speculated that if this were Nancy Pelosi in charge, she'd make Republicans eat this thing for lunch. But they're not. So we should count our blessings, and we get to live to fight another day and save lives in the long run.
Yes.
You know, so that's where we are. So then Chris Mayes, Democratic Attorney General, who is very much against life, didn't want the headline in the paper to be that they repealed this pre-Roe abortion ban. So she put down her indictment of the electors, the fake electors. And so sure enough, today's Arizona Republic, fake electors. And then the second headline is about the repeal. So she got exactly what she wanted. She's playing a very clever, she's a crafty, crafty politician.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so there is, and this is big news because
she used to be a Republican.
I know.
Yeah.
She used to work for Bob Stump.
Which is unbelievable when you think about
it. I mean,
it's
been quite a transformation. So her indictments of the fake, like the 11 people who were the electors for Donald Trump and then other co-conspirators, which include Rudy Giuliani, Mark Meadows, Mike Roman, you know, other people that the same, a lot of the same folks who were charged in the Georgia case.
Yes.
And so, you know, where does that go? I don't know. I mean, this, it, you know, you look at the Georgia case and that one kind of has been, because Fannie Willis was.
Well, Fannie Willis is under investigation by not only the House of Representatives, but the Senate in the state of Georgia.
So my
guess
is. I don't
think she's going to be getting, going very.
This Arizona case could move much more quickly than the Georgia case. Now, I don't think, you know, now in this case, Chris Mays did not charge, indict Donald Trump. He's a co-conspirator.
Yes. He's listed as a co-conspirator.
Unindicted co-conspirator.
Unindicted co-conspirator.
But Rudy Giuliani, Mark Meadows, like we mentioned before, along with these 11 fake electors, are all charged. And now I think one of the issues that will be interesting, because I don't know what they signed, if it said we are the electors for Arizona, or if it said in the event that Donald Trump is deemed the president or the winner of the election, we are the electors. Those are two very different situations.
Yeah.
And I don't know the detail. I have to dig in. I have not seen anywhere, and maybe we just need to talk to the electors, but maybe they don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I you know, this is the kind of thing where Kelly Ward got, you know, Tyler Boyer and Jim Lehman and others together and said, oh, we're going to be the electors. We're going to sign this, you know, whatever. And I'm sure that, you know, because they were listed, these are the people who were listed on the ballot. This is not like some made up thing.
Well, and it's not like it's. Don't you have to prove that there's some kind of conspiracy here?
Well, yeah.
And so, I think that's a really tough thing to do.
I think it is, too, because this is, like I said, if this were just a completely fabricated thing, this would be a different story.
Yeah.
But these are the people who literally, their names were on the ballot in 2020. And when you vote for Donald Trump, you actually aren't voting for Donald Trump. You're voting for these 11 people.
Yes.
Who will then elect Donald Trump.
Right.
Now, so they are legitimate in the sense that they were Donald Trump's electors.
And
but the question is, what it was, you know, were they actually trying to subvert the election, or were they just saying, hey, there's still questions about this?
Yeah, so should there be a recount? Should there be a change? We are the electors.
Yeah, because there is a statutory requirement.
Which would be correct.
Right. There's a statutory requirement that the electors have to meet and sign the documents, you know, by a certain date, and they did that, while at the same time the official electors, the ones that were, because they, you know, the statewide elected officials, Doug Ducey, Mark Brnovich, Katie Hobbs, signed the canvas that showed that this was the official result, and these were the electors who were duly elected.
Yeah,
and they did their thing, but the alternatives was that the what they're calling the fake electors did their thing, which, you know, like I said, we don't know whether that actually constitutes fraud and forgery because we don't know what the document said.
Yeah. It's the lawfare. We can pivot to this other issue, which is the lawfare against Donald Trump is.
Yes.
Just
so we have
started.
The trial of Donald Trump in New York.
Because now you have the Supreme Court is going to be hearing the. As to whether Donald Trump has any level of immunity, which he has claimed.
Yes, and that hearing was today.
That's today.
Well,
you've
had
this
clown
show trial going on in New York for the last couple weeks.
Right.
Which it is a clown show.
Yes, that is a complete, utter disgrace.
I mean, even the New York Times, no fan of Donald Trump or the Republicans in general, said it was a disgrace.
Yeah.
That there's no case here.
There's no case.
There's absolutely no law governing this prosecution. And
no.
Therefore, why are we doing this? The New York Times.
Yeah. The a local prosecutor trying to prosecute a federal elections crime is just that it's absurd.
Yeah.
It's absurd because the DOJ, you know, took a pass on this because there is no there.
The Federal Election Commission took a pass
on
this.
Yeah, there's no there.
Everyone took a pass on this.
So
all of it is being orchestrated by the White House. And that is the truth, and it's really disgusting.
Well,
it's really, I mean, conspiracy theories aside, it's keeping Donald Trump stuck in a courtroom while Mr. Blatherface goes out and tries to campaign.
And guess what? the more he campaigns, the more I'm convinced they're going to replace him, because just in the last couple of days, he has said, you know, blah, 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 pause. Oh, wait. Oh, it had pause on the teleprompter, and he said pause.
Yeah.
And then he also
somebody called it the Ron Burgundy president.
Right. And then,
I mean, can't make it up.
And then he said something, oh gosh, I just fell out of my head, but it's basically something along the lines of you got to stop us from, you know, keep doing this to you or something like that. I mean, just it is.
I'm going to spend more money. I'm going to raise your taxes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. He is.
Keep saying it.
He is in a steep decline, and
it's only April,
and you know, yes, the election is looming quickly, but it's only April.
Yeah,
and these things move fast.
Yeah,
so
no, it's very, very true.
So we'll see. You know, once Hobbs signs this abortion repeal, then I think things are going to kind of go back to normal in the sense of the way. I mean, the Democrats will still try to, you know, hammer on the abortion issue. It won't have as much salience now.
No.
So we're going to get back to, you know, I mean, unfortunately for the Democrats, gas prices are already creeping up.
Oh, no,
I mean,
they're going up April, big.
And they're going up big. It's going to be a lousy summer.
We're
going
to have $5-$6 gas here in Arizona.
And I, you know what? There's a chance that the Fed is not only not going to cut rates, they might go back up.
Yeah, they might be raising rates.
Rates might go back up.
They're in a quandary. There's a lead article in MarketWatch today about the quandary that they're in. I encourage anybody to read it. It's you've got a little over 1% GDP growth. You've got inflation still untamed, despite whatever Joe Biden wants to say about it, and it puts the Fed in a really difficult situation. And we're still spending money like a drunken sailor.
Yeah. Well, and that,
still have a lot of, even my 13-year-old son is like, Dad, you know what inflation is. I go, what is it, Preston? He says, it's too much money chasing too few goods. I go, you know what? Perhaps
nailed college economics.
I go, perhaps you should write a letter to the president about that, because he doesn't seem to understand this basic thing that a 13-year-old could tell him.
That's very impressive. Well, and we can end on this, because this is going to be something that is going to haunt Joe Biden. And that is the moral equivalence that he's putting between the protesters, the anti-Semitic protesters, and the Palestinian. I mean, it's,
and the Palestinian cause.
He came out.
They're good
said,
people on both
no
sides.
Right.
They're good
fine people
on both sides.
Sides.
They're fine people on both sides.
I mean,
which torpedoed Trump's early part of his presidency.
Really,
and this not a good thing to say.
And this is insane. There's college campuses that are aflame, and it is all coordinated
by
the hard left.
And George Soros.
And George Soros. This is
the open society.
Left-wing dark money being funded. I mean, tents don't just pop up organically.
No.
This is all a planned and coordinated deal funded by these left-wing groups. And it is going to create chaos for Biden and the Democrats.
Well, because Chicago's around the corner.
It's around the corner. And 1968 is going to look like a picnic.
Absolutely. We've said it before. It's good. But the Congress actually did the right thing this week.
Yes.
Passing some aid to Israel.
Gosh. So much is going on this week.
I just wanted to touch on it because I know we have to.
Yeah.
Pressing on time. But you know, the people, a lot of our compatriots on the right are blasting the Speaker of the House. Who I will say is the most conservative speaker we've ever had, and he did the right thing this week.
I think, overall,
he did. It's not a perfect bill. It's not everything you could have wanted, but he has a 0-seat majority,
right?
And you gotta get it over the finish line.
And you know, we have as the United States, this is a much easier thing to deal with as a proxy war than to be involved if NATO gets involved directly.
Oh, with Ukraine.
So it just and
you know, the issues there still exist. I mean, what does winning look like? What does victory look like? What are they prepared to do? But Joe Biden, and we talked about this with the good Congressman Shattuck last week, has slow walked much of this from the beginning within the first year.
And now he has the tools, and so if he slow walks it now, this is blood on his hands.
Absolutely. And we actually got more aid to Israel than what was initially requested, and that's driving the left nuts, but so what?
Yeah. I mean, that's part of why I think these protests have. I mean, I think the passage of this is the catalyst to these protests, which if our conservative friends can't freaking draw those dots.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, guys. You are literally on the side of terrorists when you oppose this aid to Israel.
Absolutely.
You're literally on the side of terrorists.
Absolutely.
And I'll just leave it at that. Yeah. So. Let's
we can talk more about that next week, because there'll be more to talk about next week.
Yep.
Because nothing is static.
Yeah, this is
I want to get into a little bit more international politics next week.
We'll do that.
We'll do that. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, everybody.